Right, GM everyone. Let's get this AMA started. Let's see. Are there any updates to share? So this past month there was a vote to change how Lifinity's revenue is used. So it was previously 50% distribution, 40% for buybacks and enhancing liquidity, and 10% for continued development. And now it's 70% distributed, 20% added to one-sided liquidity, just USDC, no Lifinity, and 10% for ongoing development. So yeah, the yield from or for VE Lifinity has certainly increased. That also means Flare DAO receives more revenue for buybacks. Yeah, so that's been an interesting development. And there are no more buybacks for Lifinity. Despite that, after the change was made, price stopped going down. Probably unrelated, but all right. And then I guess I'll mention another thing a bit later when I answer a question, but I'm gonna get started with our first question, which is from Hibu. It says, hi, first question. A few months ago, Durden mentioned the idea of being able to bid on NFT marketplaces using LSTs. Is it possible for the team to hire developers to build an NFT marketplace with this feature? This could create significant synergy. For example, you could earn a yield from the LST you deposit, which would then allow you to buy NFTs essentially for free. Overall, in the last few months, we had around 60K allocated for ongoing development. I think we could accomplish a lot with this budget. Any ideas or discussions on how to use it? Let's see. So first off, I think, you know, like creating an NFT marketplace and making it successful is a huge, huge endeavor. You would be competing with Tensor and Magic Eden, which are very much entrenched and have very good products that have been iterated many times over and improved a ton. If we were to compete with them, we would basically have to replicate everything they've already built, which would take forever, to be quite frank. And then we would tack on this one feature. And the question is, like, would this one feature be enough for people to switch the platform they use? And I think the answer is no, because I don't think it is a 10x improvement. And, you know, it usually takes that kind of improvement for people to make the switch, because it's inconvenient to have to do so. And so there has to be a big, juicy reason for people to want to make that switch. If people are already used to using Magic Eden or Tensor, then yeah, they're not, it's going to take a lot for them to switch. Usually the type of things that can make people switch are, one, financial incentives. So if you can make a bunch more money by switching, then people will happily switch. And the other is if there's like a 10x improvement in the UX. So for example, like Solana, you could argue that it's like a 10x improvement relative to using Ethereum. And for that reason, although that's certainly not the only reason, a lot of people have gradually been shifting over from Ethereum and other ecosystems where the infrastructure just isn't as good. People really appreciate that transactions are cheap and fast, and there's probably some other things too, but those are the main two that come to mind. So yeah, just giving those as examples, but here, like, you can earn some extra yield, because the SOL that you have on the NFT marketplace will now be earning yield, whereas right now it's not. It's just naked SOL, just sitting in their smart contracts. Now, most people, I don't think, have a ton of funds in NFT marketplaces. Like, for example, if you have a bid, your bid is going to be, you know, like, at most, I don't know, what's the most expensive NFT? Let's just say it's a Mad Lad, which is, like, I don't know, something like 80 right now, I think. So, like, they have 80 SOL. Like, 80 SOL is not a small amount, but it's also not a giant amount. And the yield you can get on that, like 8% APY. That's so per year, your bid for a Mad Lad would earn, what is that? I don't know, maybe like a few hundred dollars or something, which is not nothing, but because it's per year, like if you like count it per day, maybe that's like a dollar per day. So it's not huge either. And so, like, that, you know, it's questionable whether that will really make people move. And that's for the largest bid. Most people have smaller amounts as bids on Tensor. And so, yeah, it would be extremely difficult. So, like, that's one thing. But the other thing is, like, this would be super expensive. Like, I mean, you mentioned like the 60K. Like, 60K is not gonna cut it, not even close. Like, you need way, way more. And you need also a ton of time. And guess what? Like, when we're developing this, Tensor and Magic Eden aren't gonna be sitting still, like, not doing anything. They're gonna be iterating and they're gonna add new features. And so that will add, like, new things that we're gonna need to add to our own NFT marketplace so that we can catch up to, like, where they are. And then there's also the risk of, like, what if Tensor actually adds this functionality themselves? Then we're definitely fucked, because then we have, like, near zero chance, because we have no differentiation. And they have a huge head start in, like, every way. Yeah, so for all those reasons, like, I think this is not a feasible idea. To speak plainly, like, this is not gonna happen. You know, actually, like, when I pitched this idea, I forgot if it was a year and a half ago or half a year ago, but I was, like, kind of talking, or, like, no, it was probably, like, about a year ago, I was talking with the Tensor team, and they mentioned, yeah, we're planning to get this done by, like, January of this year, 2024. They said that in 2023. But obviously, since then, they pivoted, changed plans, and it, like, never happened. But I feel pretty confident that it's going to happen now. For one thing, there's Banks, who is doing something similar. And they're doing it in conjunction with Sanctum because, you know, the LST part, it's like, it's great that Sanctum helps with the NFT part because, like, they have expertise there, and so they can make the transition easier. And also, they provide, like, great marketing, right? Like, when we launched a Lyft Soul, like, that got so many views on Twitter. It's kind of crazy. And it's purely because, like, Sanctum is so, like, popular and gets so many eyeballs. Possibly, potentially, because, like, it was before the airdrop, and that tends to be when engagement is at its highest. But, yeah. And so, like, Banks is doing that, and then I know I saw somewhere on Twitter TensorSoul, which, you know, I have to assume is, like, basically gonna be this thing. Like, maybe there are some differences, but yeah, I assume, like, that's that's the direction they're going to take TensorSoul. I certainly hope it is. Yeah. So basically, yeah, I don't think there's a need for us to do this anyways. And like, frankly, we have so much else we're working on already anyways. Between SandGlass and Lifinity still requires optimizations as the market structure changes. Actually, I'll just mention one thing right now about Lifinity. So recently, a new market was created on OpenBook that has zero fees, a Sol USDC market. So Sol USDC is the most competitive market on Solana. And now that there's a zero fee market, this means that the market makers on OpenBook can further narrow their spreads. There used to be like a minimum spread, which was the fee, but now the fee is zero, so market makers have full control over the spread that they're charging. And so basically they're more competitive there. And since that, we've noticed that we've gotten less volume, probably because they've just started quoting tighter there, more competitively. And so that's one of the things we've been working on with Lifinity, is like adjusting to this new market structure that is more competitive. It's unfortunate, but I mean, it is what it is. So we need to make adjustments and adjust our parameters so that we're quoting optimally in this new market structure. Yeah, and then like SandGlass, obviously there's a ton going on, a ton we're working on. I'll leave it there for now. I'll talk about that more shortly, but I'm going to get to Hibou's second question after I take a sip. All right, so second question. With the Eclipse mainnet launching soon, could you ask Eclipse's team if the Lifinity or Flare's DAO could have a seed allocation, if there's interest, of course? Additionally, you might suggest a token airdrop to Flare holders. Let's see. So we've been talking with Eclipse for a long time, and you know, they're of course like soliciting many Solana projects to build on their chain. And that like comes with terms and conditions and potentially rewards as well. A seed allocation would be quite different, because that means you're investing, like you're giving them money in exchange for tokens, and also, you know, providing VC like services, like advising them and whatnot. That's certainly not something we're going to do, because we're not like a decentralized investment group. That's probably not the right word, but we're not looking to be investors, and I think everyone knows this already, but yeah. But like Eclipse does have plans to like distribute its tokens. I don't really have anything to say about that, but you can ask them. But let's just say there's a good chance that we will get an allocation. When that does happen, we'll let you know, and then we can talk about what to do with it as a community. All right, third question. Do you know how much liquidity we'll provide initially, and how we might adjust it over time? Also, do you have any estimates on the potential revenue this could generate? Yeah, so with regards to providing liquidity, it will be quite similar to how we approach this on Solana, and that is to look at how much liquidity there is on other DEXs and match that at an appropriate level. The reason we do this is because, as those who have been here for a while know by now, the majority of our volume is from arbitrage. Arbitrage trades between our DEX and other DEXs. And so that's the main thing we try to optimize for. Like, we also get some retail volume, but it's a smaller amount, so we're not trying to maximize our share of retail volume, but we want more of the ARB volume. The art volume is also what leads to the market making profit. I mean, the retail volume can as well, but the art volume is more of a surefire way, you could say, because we're using the Oracle, of course. So yeah, like we're just waiting to see like how much liquidity there will be, and then match that appropriately. And then as for revenue, there's really no way of knowing, because that's entirely dependent on how much liquidity there is, and also how much volume there is in total. And I mean, we have no way of knowing like what level of adoption Eclipse we'll see. So yeah, we'll just have to wait and see for that. Hopefully a lot, but yeah. All right. White Turtle Bill asks GM Durden, can you give us any updates on how the team is feeling about Sandglass? GM? Yeah, so we've been working on a lot of stuff, Sandglass stuff, behind the scenes. If all goes to plan, today we will be opening the pools, which means anyone will be able to become an LP on Sandglass. And after that, soon after that, we have a bunch of new vaults that are basically ready to go, but we didn't want to launch them until after we opened pools for deposits, because I think it could make a meaningful difference when the pools are open for deposits right from the start, because a lot of people, I think, don't have a strong opinion on the directionality of the yield, whether it'll increase or decrease, but they do hold these yield-bearing assets and have no use for them, no way to generate additional yield with them, and so would be interested in providing liquidity on Sandglass. Yeah, so instead of doing it later, we wanted to prioritize opening the pools. Excuse me. Yeah, so pools will open, then we'll add new vaults, and hopefully, like, we started with LSTs, MSOL, JitoSOL, BSOL, and all, like, basically predictably they aren't generating a ton of volume. One of the main reasons, I think, is just because their yield tends to not change a lot. It's pretty stable from, you know, like approximately 8% or whatever. So people don't have, there's not that much demand to speculate on the yield. But these new assets we're adding, hopefully, will draw a lot more interest because the yields can be a lot more volatile. So the two that I'm personally most excited about, one is JLP. That yield has varied like very widely across time. I forgot how high it went. Maybe it went as high as 300% at one point, but certainly it went in the hundreds. And then right now, I think, was it like 60% or something? It's like a lot lower now. And how will it change in the future? Like, I don't know. Anything could happen. if there's like a massive bull run, then there could be a lot more leverage trading, which would result in a higher APY, all else being equal, assuming no additional deposits, etc. Or if deposits just keep increasing, then yield will go down. or if we like enter a bear market, your yield will likely also go down. Yeah, there's like a lot of scenarios, and I'm sure people have opinions on that. Let's see. Yeah, so that's that. And then another one I'm excited about is Kamino CUSDC. This is USDC deposits on Kamino. And actually, we'll also be doing MarginFi and Solend as well. USDC yield on lending protocols tends to be pretty variable as well. Like, it basically moves together with how bullish or bearish the market is. In a bull market, they tend to be really high. People borrow USDC to try to generate extra yield through leverage or yield farming or whatever. In a bear market, there's just less borrowing, so yields tend to go down. So yeah, this will allow people to speculate that yield will go up, or they can fix their yield if they think the current yield is like sufficient and they think it might go down in the future. And notably, there's really no other use for CUSDC. With Camino, I don't think they even give you a token. You have to do it programmatically. So like, people don't have CUSDC in their wallet anyways. So usually if you just deposit CUSDC, like, that's the end of your journey as a lender. I guess if you're borrowing against your USDC, then it's different. But I don't think many people deposit USDC to, I don't know, like, short Sol or whatever. I think that's relatively rare. Most people just deposit USDC to get the yield. So here you can get that yield, and you can generate additional yield by speculating correctly or by providing liquidity. So that would be cool. Hopefully Camino helps us on the marketing side. I think it makes a lot of sense for them to do so, because it gives an additional reason for people to deposit in Camino over other protocols. It's kind of a struggle to get projects to integrate their points systems. Camino thankfully has agreed to. MarginFi and Solend have not. So those won't be natively integrated, which is unfortunate. Hopefully we can do that with INF, Sanctum's LST, for their season 2. They seem like they will be willing to do that, which is great. We'll also be opening a INF pool. let's see. Yeah, so like, I think predictably things with Sandglass have been slow, which, you know, we predicted from before we even launched. I guess one other thing to mention is, after we get audited, which we will begin the process of, after we've launched all these new pools, after that, hopefully we can get an integration with some restaking protocols. Hold on, give me 1 second, I'll be right back. All right, I'm back. Let's see. Yeah, so if we could integrate with the restaking protocol, that'd be great. If you recall, Pendle, I think, first had their like great surge in usage once they started integrating these restaking protocols with their points. And I don't know, maybe the points meta has like began to die down. In which case, we can't ride that wave as strongly as Pendle did, but it would still be great to integrate with them. Jito just announced their restaking protocol, so that would probably be the premier one to integrate with. But yeah, I mean, they're not live or anything, so. Yeah, so I think those are my thoughts on Sandglass. Let me take a sip real quick. All right, next question. Henry asks, hi, is there any updates on how soon there will be the first USDC lending pool on Sandglass? Soon. We're basically done coding it. So it's just a matter of getting the opening for deposits live and then spacing out launches appropriately. So yeah, I'm glad you seem to be excited for that. All right, Otto asks, has the FlareDAO managed to remove some of your workload, and how are you spending the copious amounts of time? Yeah, I think it has. The ideas to do things with the FlareDAO now often go through the FlareDAO and not through me, and the FlareDAO actually does the on-chain actions as well. So yeah, FlareDAO seems to be or the FlareDAO council seems to be doing quite well. Shout out to White Turtle Bill for heading that up, and I think almost always making the new proposals and creating the on-chain transactions and stuff. Yeah, so that's been cool to see. I mean, it was the vision from the start for like things to be handed over to the FlareDAO. I think we kind of mentioned that in the original article. So I'm glad to be seeing that happen in some capacity. Yeah. Otto says, can you take a stab at explaining crypto restaking for noobs? Is it literally that the cash yields are used for economic stake and security? Sure, I can give a shot. I'm certainly no restaking expert, and I will also mention as a caveat that I'm not like super convinced in the utility of restaking. But yeah, let me try to explain my understanding. So basically it's basically like proof of stake, you could say, but just more generalized. Actually, the level of generalization depends on the protocol, I think. Like what assets do they accept as stake? They can choose to limit that, or they can choose to make it very wide. I think some of the earlier ones that came out are much more limited. Like basically they'll take staked ETH, for example, and use that. They will stake already staked ETH. Therefore, it's called restaking. And then use that restaked staked ETH as security for something else. So, you know, like at the bottom level, like you stake Ethereum, ETH, or SOL, and then, you know, in theory, if a validator misbehaves, then their stake gets slashed. Solana doesn't have this. Ethereum does. And so because there's this threat of getting slashed, or in other words, that you lose your stake, that is what creates the security for the chain or whatever. And so restaking is supposed to be a service for newer chains that don't yet have an asset that can be used for staking. So it's like, hey, I'm a chain and I want security. So can I rent security from somewhere is basically the idea. And so they can pay these validators with restaked assets, and their assets can get slashed. So you can be confident that they're going to validate whatever chain correctly. So the question is, like, is there going to be demand for this restaking? And to me, it seems like it's hard for me to imagine that there's going to be a lot. And one of the main reasons is because there's just such a strong economic incentive for whatever new projects to issue their own token and use that token as the thing that gets staked for security. So, like, projects have basically two options, right? One is I can pay these restakers some money and then get my chain secured with their restaked assets. That's option number one. Option number two is we issue a new token, and then that becomes the asset that gets staked, just like Sol or ETH or whatever. And the second option just seems so much more desirable from the project's perspective because, one, it's free to mint a new token. And two, like, they can make a lot of money from that. Like, that's kind of the playbook, right? It's like a big project gets, well-known investors on their cap table, and does like a bunch of marketing on Twitter, and then they, I don't know, maybe they do an airdrop to generate some excitement, and then and maybe they do like a low float, high FTV, so that they can sell their tokens at a high price, and like they can make money really quick, like maybe even if they haven't even launched their product. Like, maybe, I mean, they can even like launch their token and not their product yet and still make money just by selling. Obviously that depends on like the locking schedule and all that, but yeah, anyway, so like if you think about it like that, like, why would they want to pay for security? I don't know. I actually don't even know of any like specific cases where security has been paid for. Maybe it exists, but yeah, I don't know of it. Yeah, so, and then like suppose they do pay for security, like some projects maybe they do take that route. How much are they going to pay? They're certainly not going to pay like a shit ton, because like if they're paying for security, I mean, like, where do they even get the money from? They're basically like paying from the team's pocket, and they can't just keep doing that forever. So like they're not going to be paying that much. But on the other hand, there's so much assets to be restaked. Like, basically all the staked ETH, all the staked SOL, which is like billions, right? So the people paying for security are the yield for these billions of assets. But if those paying for security aren't paying much, and the amount of assets seeking the yield is humongous, then the APY is going to be minuscule. So like yeah, like personally I'm not like super bullish on this whole restaking thing. Let me know if I'm wrong. But yeah, that's just my take. Seems to be quite popular. And like if there's demand for it, and yeah, I mean, like, bottom line, if there's demand for it, like, who cares about my thesis, right? Like, fuck yeah, we're gonna integrate it with SandGlass and like give people what they want. So, yeah, who cares about my opinion? You guys got any other questions or? I can also answer on Twitter. I see some of you guys on the Twitter Spaces. Someone may have typed something. Satswasi asks, what's next for Sanglass? I assume you just joined because I talked about this at length maybe 15 or 20 minutes ago. But basically, we're going to open pools, hopefully today, so anyone can become an LP. And then after that, we're going to launch a bunch of new vaults, some of which are JLP, USDC lending protocols, so CUSDC, and INF, the LSD from Sanctum, and there might have been a couple others that I'm not thinking of, but yeah. We basically worked on these vaults for a while and decided actually we should open pools before we do that, so before we launch them. It looks like I might have got disconnected from Twitter. Sorry if I did. But anyways, yeah, that's basically it in terms of updates. Alfro asks, how's the progress on the Pith pull Oracle model? Yeah, good question. So we actually tried using that, and it turned out to be not great. I forgot if the issue was that it was expensive or if it was slow, like too slow. But yeah, there was like some issue, so which is like unfortunate because some of the assets are really only viable with Pith. Like it's too expensive for us to run our own Oracle like we do for a bunch of our assets. So yeah, for now it's kind of on hold. I'm not sure what will happen, if we'll like ever get back our Pith based pools, or if we'll just have to stick with our own oracles from now on. But yeah, for now we're just running pools with our own oracles. Thanks for the questions, WTB. Have a good day, sir. Binox, hey Durden, what's up? Lord Lube, let me know that I'm still on the spaces, which is good. I don't know, there was a button that said reconnect, so I thought I was disconnected or something, but some people are typing questions in the Discord chat, so I'm just gonna wait for those. Oh yeah, I forgot to mention the website update, but I'm sure everyone probably knows about that by now. We even redirect to the new website now. So anyways, Otto says, love the website update. Go Mucky. And super happy with your team's progress, and happy to use Backpack too. Yeah, me too. I'm fine. I'm really glad that people will stop complaining about that. But I mean, I think it was... I think they were rightfully complaining about it, so I just didn't want to hear it. Will this help with the market cap slash coin gecko issues? Let's see. I don't think so. Let's see. So the coin gecko. I'm confusing CoinGecko and DeFi Llama because there's like two separate issues. Let's see. So the CoinGecko issue. What do they want from us? Man, like the CoinGecko thing is like so messed up because we reached out so many times and then they reached out and they were like, yeah, we're willing to do XYZ or whatever. And then like the communication from them just like stopped. So I really don't know what happened there. And DeFi Llama, I think they wanted an API from us. I forgot what exactly for. Might have been for our TVL. But yeah. Then you say, if time, how's the bigger team going? I'm not sure what you mean by that. Can you elaborate? Binox asks, can you explain more about JLP? I'm currently supplying JLP to NX Finance, and they offer leverage up to 5x, which appeals to many. Yeah, so I mean, like, I think I haven't looked deeply into NX Finance, but I assume that's like, you basically just borrow USDC against your JLP and then buy more JLP with that USDC and repeat until you get up to 5x leverage. Let's see. I mean, I don't think that's what you were asking. You want me to explain more about JLP? JLP is Jupiter's PerpDex LP token. So you deposit assets, if I remember correctly, Sol, BTC, ETH, USDC, and USDT. And that's basically the liquidity against which the leverage traders can trade against. And so the P&L, it's like a zero sum game between the traders and the LPs. So if the traders win, the LPs lose. If the LPs win, the traders lose, type of thing. And this is all ignoring the protocol fees, of course. But yeah, so that's like one aspect. And then there's the fees. So even if like traders do slightly better than break even, I'm trying to be careful with like how I phrase things because the fees need to be taken into account. So I'm not being like exactly precise, but like if traders do slightly better than break even, the LPs can still quote unquote win because there's the fees. But yeah, so like JLP is like, it's a basket of assets, Sol, Bitcoin, ETH, USDC, USDT, and it also accrues the fees. And the basket of assets is always like changing proportion because that's what they're providing as liquidity to be traded against. I hope that explanation helps. Right. So Otto was asking about how we've added new devs to our team and how that's been going. Yeah, no, that's good. Like, and it takes some initial time at the start to like get new people integrated into the workflow, but I think we're mostly over that hump, and so now we just have more people working, which is great because we can get more done. So yeah, that's been good for sure. Let's see. Salt Cans asks, howdy, do you think Winner ultimately takes most in Sol DeFi? Can you rephrase your question? I'm not exactly sure what you're asking. Are you asking if like Sol is going to be the winner take most in DeFi? And then your second question, what are your 2 to 5 year goals for Lifinity / Sandglass as it pertains to market capture? I mean, I could like state some random grandiose goals if I wanted to, but honestly, like 2 to 5 years is like way too far out because like things change so quickly in crypto. Like with respect to Lifinity, my quote unquote goal is to basically like maintain a decent market share as the total volume on Solana increases. Like we don't need to become a larger DEX in terms of market capture of volume on Solana. Like all we need really is to maintain our place and then for Solana to just keep growing and become the best on-chain place for trading. Because then even if our share is the same, we're getting a share of a bigger pie. And so we just naturally grow. So yeah, that's Lifinity and then Sandglass. Like right now we're the only yield trading protocol on Solana, but on the other hand, there is very little yield trading on Solana. So with respect to Sandglass, our goal is for like yield trading to become much more of a regular thing, for people to become educated, for us to add a bunch more assets that people can trade the yield of, have more integrations. Yeah, a lot needs to happen on the Sandglass side. And like Sandglass definitely has like the potential to become larger, just due to the fact of the size of the interest rate derivative market in TradFi. It's just like so much larger than spot trading. So yeah, if Sandglass could grow into that, that would be incredible. Yeah. Binox says about how you more about how you will implement JLP. It seems many protocols have latched onto it. So what will make it interesting for someone like me to use Sandglass versus Adastria or NX Finance? Ultimately, holders just want a place to plonk JLP. Yeah. Okay. I mean, in comparison to Adastria or NX Finance, I would assume that they simply have higher yields. And that is due to the fact that users of those protocols will be taking on more risk because they can get liquidated, whereas you can't on Sandglass. Or I should say, because they're taking on leverage. And leverage is higher risk, higher reward. So, yeah, it's kind of a matter of temperament. Like, what kind of DeFi user are you? What's your risk tolerance? That kind of thing. Like, they will always be able to show juicier numbers, I assume. And that's just that. Like, I think that's fine. But, yeah, you can't really compete with like the raw APY numbers you can show. Yeah, I mean, if you're buying PT on Sandglass, then you can have more certainty because you get a fixed yield regardless of any movements in the APY. So Like, I'm sure there will be some people who find that proposition attractive. So different products, different use cases for different types of DeFi users. The more options, the better. If you look at it from a like a bird's eye point of view. So I think it's good. And you know, like if you think about it, there's also like the potential where we could use leveraged JLP deposits on, for example, NX Finance. So it's like you 5x leverage your JLP, and that's an asset, right? It's probably not tokenized right now. It's just like a number in NX Finance's on-chain ledger, but of course they can tokenize it if they wanted to. Similar to like VELFINITY, XLFINITY is just tokenized 4-year VELFINITY. So you do the same thing with NX Finance. Now you have a token, and say you deposit that on SandGlass. Well, now like the yield on this 5x JLP is, I don't know, is it like 5x? I don't really know. But say it's like 5x the yield. Or actually, no, it can't be 5x because you're paying the borrowing fees, I'm sure. Let's say it's like 2x, I don't know. So then you can trade that yield of the 5x leveraged JLP on NX Finance on SandGlass. So it's like there's even composability there. It's not purely competitive per se. Because yeah, SandGlass can be used for anything with yield really. So that could be interesting as well. let's see. Otto asks, regarding market cap, wasn't it something about getting the current circulation of tokens because of the XLFINITY and locked slash unlocked complication? Yeah, actually, that sounds correct. They may have wanted an APY for our market cap. That maybe sounds correct. Yeah, I'll have to revisit our chats with them. Yeah, it would be nice to get things straightened out on CoinGecko, wouldn't it? Oh, I see Slam.Soul was looking to come on stage. I'm just going to invite you on. How's it going? Or not? That's fine. Think the last time we had a speaker on stage, it was Lieutenant Lollipop, like over a year ago, like a year and a half ago, or 2 years ago, or something. Very long time. Remember those days? Back when there was the Marinade Governance Forum stuff. And, male escort, yada yada. If you know, you know. Otto remains lower on the list of priorities, I guess. Yeah, I mean, like, all that was like during the time when we were working on SandGlass, probably like when we started working on it. So. Yeah, we were definitely more focused on that. as well as optimizing Lifinity's pools and stuff. I'm glad we finally got the new website out, though. It was a long time coming. Yeah, it's, I don't know, it's kind of tricky because, like, these things tend to not affect revenue at all. So, like, these more cosmetic things, like, certainly have value. But it's hard to, like, it's a difficult trade-off to navigate because they don't generate value in any direct way. It tends to be just like quality of life improvement for users. And obviously that matters because like we care about our users, but we also know that what our users care about the most is the revenue. So it's like, yeah. All right, well, I don't see any more questions, so I think I might call it there. Glad to see we had a bunch of people joining at this time. Sometimes like to mix up the times. Different people from normal get to join, so that's cool. I'll see what Binox is typing. Thank you, Durden, Lifinity, the sleeping giant. All right. Thanks, everyone. Really appreciate all of you joining and asking the great questions. Yeah, once again, if all goes according to plan, today we will open the pools for Sandglass, and then soon after follow up with opening a bunch of new vaults. So stay tuned for all that. All right, guys, have a good rest of the day. Peace out.